Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. God, we need you more today than we did yesterday. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts during worship, giving us clarity, confirming some things, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship, God. Thank you just for a body of believers, Lord, that we don't have to journey alone. We don't have to go through life alone. We don't have to walk this incredibly tough Christian walk alone. But thank you for the encouragement and the love that comes from like-minded believers, Lord. Thank you for the hugs, the hello. Sometimes a smile is all it takes to help us to keep going and to know that we're going to be all right. So we ask now, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. God, we need you. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. We open our hearts and minds to receive what God is speaking to us this morning. Don't just give us information, Lord. We need revelation. And we're praying that it leads to transformation. Let our lives be changed. Let our minds be renewed by your word. And we thank you in advance. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, if you would, Numbers 14 and verse. Let's do a quick review, verse 11. For those of you to take notes, remember there's notes on the notes. But for those of you that are taking notes, with verse 11, there's a couple of things I want to highlight. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people tolerate me? And how long will it be before they believe me, before they can trust me for all the miracles which I've produced among them? We talked last week, what else does God need to do in your life for you to trust him? But look, make a note. Here's a note that God gave me. There in the wilderness, bless you. Number one, make a note there in the wilderness. God speaks, God sees, God listens, God responds. And God is walking with them in the wilderness. Make a note. So wherever you and I are in life, understand that God sees us. God is going to speak to us. God even listens to us. Even when we're complaining, God listens to us. God responds. And God is walking with us. Never feel that you're out there alone. Never feel that God is not with you. Even if you feel it, you got to know what the word says. Even in our toughest and darkest days, God is with us. Amen. So then we went to verse 11. God's going to take them out. He's going to kill them with the cattle disease and disown them. Gave Moses a tempting offer of starting a nation with Moses' seed. Moses said he wasn't self-centered and he wasn't selfish. Remember, it's hard to be a leader if you're selfish and self-centered. It's hard to be a parent. Somebody say amen. If you're selfish and self-centered, it's tough. If you don't have kids, don't have kids. Because kids going to get on. They're going to need everything. They're going to want everything at the wrong time, the wrong place, the wrong thing, and for the wrong reason. But as a leader, as a parent, it's about being sacrificial. And Moses said it here, and I was wondering if he said it, but he just wanted to say what God wanted to hear. Amen? You ever been there where you give the Christian answer? Not the real one, you give the one that you know that God and the church would want to hear. But Moses said it. And then verse 14, he talks about the inhabitants and everything that God is and how God is with the people. But Moses actually meant what he said. I want to read 14 again because it deserves repeating. when we notice what the enemies of God are saying and seeing, and how we can be in the middle of it and we're complaining, but the people that don't know God, don't have a relationship with God, can see all that God is doing in your life, in my life, and the change that's taking place. But we're still complaining and not trusting, and they see it. Others see the power of God, but we don't. Look at the insight that Moses gives us into their relationship with God. This is all based on verse 14. People have heard what God has done in your life. Other people see the power and the presence of God in your life. People have heard what God is doing with you and I. They see that we can experience God face to face, that we can, yes, have an intimate relationship with God. The cloud is over them by day, and the fire by night. And they're following it, because we all have to follow something. Make a note with that: God is always present. Moses gives us incredible insight to our relationship with God in verse 14. Verse 15, now if you kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying. Remember, it's about God's name and God's fame. And make a note that God is rooting for you and I, because his name is on the line. As I said before, when we're out professing and confessing Jesus Christ, and others see that, because they're always watching, you know they're watching, because they'll tell you when you slip up. They'll make it plain, but God's name is, so God is rooting for us to make it. God is counting on us in our singleness, in our marriages, because we're reflecting Christ. Don't think God is out to get you and I. God is rooting for us. God's your biggest supporter, because his name is on the line for his name's sake. Because Moses is saying, God, people are saying this about you, and it will make God look bad if you kill them and start over with me. They'll say that you couldn't do it. You couldn't deliver them, so you killed them in the wilderness. Then we pick it up at verse 17. Moses said, now I'm begging you. And that word beseech, make a note, it means I'm begging you for an immediate change, a right now begging. Amen. Anybody ever been there? You're begging for something right now. That's what beseech means in the Hebrew. God is listening to Moses. Moses saying, God, I'm begging you for a right now change. Let the power of my Lord be great, according as you have spoken, saying. Okay, let's unpack that just for a minute. The word beseech is used 403 times in the Old Testament, where various people are begging God for an immediate change. And Moses is saying he's begging them according to what you have spoken. Make a note of that. This is based on God's word. So when you're begging for someone and you're praying for someone, pray the word over their life. If it's an unsaved family member, Lord, you said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm praying that they would be saved. And this is during your praying and fasting time. Pray God's word. Moses is not making anything up. He's praying God's word over the people that don't like him. You have to pray God's word over the people that don't like you. And the people that could be out to ruin you and don't care anything about you. This is a mature message. I agree. Hear what it's saying. Moses said that it was about God's people, and now he's proving it. He said, God, I don't want you to start over with me. I want you to work on the people who you've called. Even though they don't like me, even though they want to ruin me, even though they want to stone me, God, I'm begging for a change right now. As opposed to complaining about your enemies and haters and trifling co-workers and disrespectful friends and family, that's what it says, family members, When was the last time or the first time you begged God to save their soul? All right, let me read that again. As opposed to complaining about your enemies and haters and trifling co-workers and disrespectful friends and family members, when was the last time or the first time you begged God to save their soul or to soften their heart or to change their heart or to renew their mind or to allow them to be born again or to make them a new creation in Christ? When was the last time you prayed for them like that? And family, we have the opportunity every morning to get up and pray and fast and go after them in the name of Jesus according to God's word. I'm not talking about the people you love and the people who love you and who really care about you. I'm talking about the people that are hating on you and want to ruin your life completely. Wow. I told you, I'm not going to be the only one getting beat up with this message. I got to share this. Moses proves, listen, this is for all of us that are parents, that are leaders, which is all of us. Moses proves to God that he really cared about the people and not making his own name great. Because God said, I'll start over with you right now. He said, no, God, we can't do that. And how does he prove it? He proves it by going into immediate prayer for the people that don't even like him. Say, okay. And it said, and I have a note that says, don't miss this. It's according to God's word. Pray the word. You got to know the word. Pray the word. If you don't know it, Pastor, I'm going through this. What's a scripture for this situation? Okay, this is the one that you would pray over and fast over. Moses is like kind of reminding God of what he said. And that's what the word is here for. God, this is what your word says. I was talking with a coworker. Let's find a scripture. Let me find it. I believe it's in Isaiah. I'm going to find it, Sister Kathy. Let's see. Turn with me. Oh, let's go to Isaiah 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Darius. And verse, and then we're going to come back. Keep your finger there. We're going to come back. Isaiah 30. And I was talking with a coworker just this past week. She had cancer. She's a breast cancer survivor. Double, what do you call it? Vasectomy. And when she got the word that she had cancer and it was really bad, she said she went right to this. She says she prayed that Hezekiah prayer. See, you prayed a word to God. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto the Lord has said, get your house in order, because you're getting ready to die and you're not going to live. That's the message you don't want to hear from God. Somebody say amen. Amen. But that's the word. That sometimes it doesn't end in life. But it ends in us transitioning right to God. That's the word. She said she got this message. And then she went to verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Underline that. He prayed unto the Lord. Said, Lord, remember now. I'm begging. There's the word beseech. I told you it's used 403 times in the Old Testament. Said, remember now, O Lord, I'm begging you. Oh, man, I've walked with you, God, in truth, with a loyal heart. I've done that which is good in your sight. And he cried, start crying. Somebody say amen. That's real, family. Yes. It don't always work out. Amen. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, go and tell and say to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard your prayer. seeing your tears. Behold, I'm going to add 15. I'm going to add to you 15 more years. Pray that word. And so I was talking to her. She said, you know, Carter, I'm in my 15. I'm in that 15. She said, I can't waste time. I got to give God every. She said, I believe right now I'm in that 15. Brother Mickey, are you? She said, I'm in my 15. She said, I'm 5 years into my 15. And I got to make every. But she said she went right to this and she prayed this and she stood on this. God, give me just a little more time. Stage four. God, give me just a little more time. It's what Moses is doing. All right, let's go on back. Family, you got to pray the word. Find where you are in the word and pray the word every morning. Telling you, family, it will change your life. So all we have is the word of God. You can trust anything you want to, but I'm saying what's real and what's true, what we have is the word of God. And either we trust God, we love you, help us to trust you, God. We're trying to get there. We're trying to get there like Hezekiah. My man was like, God, I've done this. I've done. God, you got. Don't let this. Don't let it end like this. You got. Go let him know you got. God responds when you pray his word. All right. So let's see where Moses got the word from. Darius, take us to and family, turn to Exodus chapter 34. I believe that's where I want to go. Exodus 34. So you see that Moses just wasn't making stuff up. Exodus 34 and 10. Where did Moses get all this information about God and being able to pray and ask God and beg God? Exodus 34 and 5. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say hold up. All right, so we're at Exodus 34 and 5. God kind of puts on a show for Moses. Verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud. Just look how majestic that was, and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord, that being the existing one. So Moses is there. God shows him his glory. Two tables of stone are made with tablets of stone, which we know are the Ten Commandments. Then God comes and shows up. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, underline that, the existing one, then it says, God, El Shaddai, the Almighty, the existing Almighty shows up. Don't get better than that, family. But look at the character and the nature of God. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and in truth. Underline that. If you ever wonder what the character and the nature of God is like, and we know it's a dual nature, he's going to share a little bit of that as well. So God puts on this show and tells Moses what he's like. That's why Moses began to beg, and he reminded God, God, you're merciful, you're gracious, you're long-suffering, you're abundant in goodness and truth. You have to save the people. You can't take them out because this is who you are. He began to beg for the life of the people. Now make a note. Okay, how do I say this? Sometimes when we get where we are and we get spiritual, we kind of forget where we come from. We try and get into that song that the prophetess, what's her name? Beyonce, false prophetess, whatever she is. Anyway, I woke up like this. You did not wake up like this. You did not wake up saved. You don't wake up looking good. But sometimes we get so spiritual, we think that we woke up with our suit on and we woke up saved. and we got to this point with no issues, and we just are the master of our own ship and the captain of our destiny. But Moses, he thinks back. And see, that's how you can pray for others, because when you think back like Moses did, where the Pharaoh was killing all the kids and his mom had him and put him in the water and he was drawn out. That's what his name means, drawn out. Just happened to be drawn out by Pharaoh's daughter. And so instead of him being killed, she said, I'm going to take him home to be mine. And then she says, well, I need someone to breastfeed the baby and to take care of it. So go find somebody, which just happened to go and find Moses' mama. And said, I need you to take care of a kid that I found that should be killed, but's not dead because of the grace of God. See, Moses didn't forget how he started. Sometimes we forget how we started. We don't want to pray for people. We don't want to remember what it was like when we were lost and we were out there. And we don't cut people slack. We don't cut them grace. And we don't cut our kids slack in grace as if we grew up and we was born like this. Oh, it gets better. And then Moses, he's growing up as an Egyptian, but he knows he's a Hebrew. Hebrews are being mistreated, so Moses, he decides he's going to take matters in his own hand and kills this guy. Now he's a murderer. And he flees for 40 years, and God finds him and says, I need you to go back and deliver the people. And he thought of every excuse he could. I don't speak right. Who shall I say that you are? The people are not going to believe me. He tried every excuse, and God said, no, I need you to go back. Spoke to him through the burning bush. God never brought up the murder or the sin. God called him right where he was. Family, make a note. God doesn't hold your past against you. God wants to use you right where you are. And when you understand it like that, then you can cut people some slack. You can pray for people that don't care, because you remember what it was like and how the miracle that we are here. That's why it wasn't too hard for Moses to go and start praying for those people that wanted to kill him. Because number one, he shouldn't even be here, because somebody wanted to kill him before he was born. And the grace of God, the mercy, the kindness, the loving favor of God saved him, just like it did you and I. And then when we look at it, not only that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so I want to get all spiritual and it's way above me or beneath me. I ain't going to deal with you. I ain't going to even pray for you. Go save yourself like I did. So that's why we cut people some slack. I'm going to use my daughter JL as an example. I hope she doesn't mind. She probably will. She'll tell me later. But anyway, and she's happened to be here. So anyway, I always talk about the other two when they're not here. But one of her best friends had turned 18 yesterday. They went out celebrating. The mom took them out. Just had a great time. So she was a little tired this morning. Said, Dad, I'm not going to make the purpose and purity class. I just need a few more minutes. Are you mad? Why would I be mad? You celebrating with one of your best friends. Nothing to be mad about. See, you got to cut people some slack. Because Mickey, I grew up with Mickey. And when we turned 18, we weren't out having a good time, an innocent good time with our friends. Yeah. It was a whole lot different at the park turning 18. But all of a sudden, I'm so spiritual. No, you got to be there. You want to be there. Are you serious? Folks, come on. The grace of God. Amen. Think about what you were doing when you turned 18. And who you were with. Now, cut your kids some slack. Cut your siblings some slack. The more I study this word, the more I understand the grace of God. And it's a real deal. And when you understand that, you don't look down on anybody unless you're helping them up. And you just give grace. It's not that serious. So I broke down some of the words. The merciful means compassionate. Gracious means kind, pleasant, courteous, polite, civil, forgiving, and tender-hearted. And you know these are the fruit of the Spirit as well. The fruit of the Spirit was present back then, just like it is now through us, through the Holy Spirit. Hear what I'm saying. Merciful is being compassionate. Show some compassion towards people. Gracious, kind, pleasant. When you go to work tomorrow, be gracious. Show some grace. Be kind, be pleasant, be courteous, be polite, civil, forgiving, tender-hearted. Abundant means much. Truth means trustworthy. God is trustworthy. He's also firm, reliable, stable, faithful, and he's right. Then it breaks down grace, which is different from gracious. Grace is acceptant, accepted in favor. All right, so let me finish this thing up. Let me read it again. Exodus 34 and 6. The Lord passed by before him. God's putting on a show. See, but make a note, Moses was listening. So then when they get to Numbers and God's ready to take the people out, Moses said, hold up, God, remember, no, you're gracious. You're merciful. You're long-suffering. Oh, what's that long-suffering? Oh, patient. Somebody say amen. That's somebody's pray for that. You got to pray. Somebody got to pray this week, every morning. If nothing else but the long-suffering, you got to be a little more patient with people. And abundant, exceeding in goodness and truth. Verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. Forgiving evil. Iniquity is evil. Evil, guilt, perversity, depravity, fault, punishment, or mischief. I don't want to take you too far back. But that's what iniquity, that God forgives that. Forgiving means to take it away or to carry it off. Somebody say amen. That's why Moses said, man, I killed somebody. I shouldn't have been born. I was in hiding for 40 years. God calls me. I make all these excuses. Now I'm serving God. I gotta be gracious. I have to remember what God has done. The word transgressions is the revolt and rebellion. When the times God forgives that, when we revolted and rebelled against him by not being faithful to his word. And y'all know we ain't got to think back too far, like this week only. You ain't got to think back that far. That's this week. And sin, when we miss the mark, when we blow it. Or you just create an offense. Verse 7, keeping mercy to thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no way means clear to guilty. So God's saying, although I'm gracious, you know I got to be just as well. Somebody say amen. Amen. I got to deal with stuff that needs to be dealt with. You know I'm gracious. I got to deal with stuff that needs to be dealt with, though. Because that's what God is. Because that's, as we sing the song, that's a good, good father. Somebody say amen. I remember when I got my spanking in the sixth grade. That was one of my last ones. My dad told me, I was acting a fool in school. My dad told me, he said, look. I got home, he said, you know, that's the third time your teacher called this week. Because the first time I knew I was going to get it. It didn't get it. Oh, I was like, okay. Then the second time I knew I'm cool. I done grown up now. Boom, third time in a week, y'all. But like a good father, he can't let that stuff slide. He said, son, I need you to, come and get me when you're ready. Gosh darn, that's a cold game. And that was a Friday, too, so I waited like 10 o'clock that night. Man, I had to go to dad and mom's room, and I Dad, I'm ready. Gosh. And you know, in the old days, they don't whip clothes. Clothes ain't did nothing wrong. You iron clothes. You fold clothes. You don't whip clothes. So Dad said, anyway, man. It's a good fight. But I tell you what, my teacher didn't call no more. I had no more problems. That's sixth grade year. Somebody say amen. Because that's a good father. He's loving. My dad was loving, caring, but he was firm and he was fair. And he had eight kids. And so that's why you just tried to, you knew what to do. And I thank God for all the dads in here. Be firm and be fair, be loving, be gracious. I try my best to be gracious with my kids because I remember what it's like. But I got to be firm too, because I know that if you let a kid slide, they'll slide right off the rails. And you're not doing them a favor by letting them slide off the rails. All right, let's finish this up. Wow. Let me finish verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children. So, dads, what we do, we got to break that generational curse through prayer and through begging God to be merciful to our children, unto the third and fourth generation. Somebody say amen. Amen. And after this encounter with God, Moses hurried up, bowed his head to the earth, and worshiped. You cannot have an encounter with God. I mean, you all know we've been driving on the freeway and God hits us and you got to pull on the off ramp and just go, Lord, oh, my God. Got to pull to the side. Are you at home? And you just got to immediately just say, Lord, you're so good. But look, let me finish this and then we'll come back to verse 8. And he said, now if I found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff neck. God, you know what we're dealing with. See, so Moses reminded God, God, you know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with people that are stiff-necked. Let me see, stiff-necked. I wrote it down, Sister Kathy, because I had to. They were cruel, mean, rebellious. Out of control, stiff neck. And you all know, if you ever had a crook in your neck, is that what you call it, a crook? A crook in your neck and you can't, you know, that's bad. These people had the crook in their spirit. Just crooked. It says, I'm praying. This is when he bowed down and he started worshiping God, here's the prayer. Verse 9 is a prayer. He said, God, he's praying, God, if I found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. God, be right there with us. For it is a stiff-necked people. And forgive our iniquity and our sin. And take us to the land that you promised us. Moses did not forget this encounter. And that's what allowed him to pray for the stiff. Because God, you already know what we're dealing with. See, I wrote that down. Oh, wow. The prayer. God, be with us because we are jacked up. I paraphrase it for us. God, be with us because we're jacked up. And God, take us to the place and the land you have promised and prepared for us. God, you know our collars are tight and our necks are stiff. You know we're walking around with a spiritual crook in our necks. Hard, cruel, stubborn, difficult, and obstinate. All right, I'm going to finish with this. Here's the most amazing revelation of all. All right? God knows everything about us and he still loves us. Remember what I shared with you with J. Vernon McGee. He said, if I knew the type of people, your thoughts and all that kind of stuff, I wouldn't want to talk to you. And if you knew the thoughts and the crazy stuff that goes on with me, y'all wouldn't be here listening to me. Somebody say amen. But God knows everything about us and he still loves us. That's the most amazing revelation of all. God knows all our hangups, our idiosyncrasies, our shortcomings, our selfishness, our secret sins, our crazy thoughts. God still loves us even though he has full access and full disclosure to the inside of our hearts. Let me say that again. God still loves us even though he has full access and full disclosure into the inside of our hearts. Then God took it a step further and sent his only begotten son to die in place of us so we could be rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Now that's love. And Moses never forgot that. Moses never forgot how the grace of God saved him from when he was born. And that's why he prayed and didn't complain. Moses never forgot about killing the Egyptian. That's Exodus 2:11. He never forgot when God called him into ministry. That's Exodus 3:10. That's why Moses could beg for the life of his enemies, because he never forgot the grace of God and where he came from. God used Moses and God wants to use you and I, despite of our background and the evil things we have done. So here's the last thing I'll say. And then I want to worship just for a few minutes. God speaks to Moses. God is with Moses. God never mentions the sin of murder. God never considers Moses inadequate. God will speak to you and I. God is with you and I. God will never throw our sins up in our face. Satan will, but God never will. And God will never consider you and I inadequate to be called into the ministry. And we'll stop right there. So I just want to, in verse 8, it says, Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth. I just want to spend, and worshiped. I just want to spend just one worship song and then we're going to dismiss. So if I could ask the worship team to come up. And I want you all just to pray for an enemy. Pray for somebody that don't like you. Pray that God would move on their heart, renew their mind. Make them a new creature in Christ. And then pray that God would just move on your heart, that you would continually pray for those. If you want to stand and lift your hands, if you can. If not, you can just sit there and worship. Lamb who was slain. Thank you, Lord.